traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
It's Israel Adesanya, ladies and gentlemen.
You might be the king of petty.
I'm the best.
You have been on some shit after that knockout. John Jones, he said that you were his favorite fighter.
That's a lie.
It's inside actual quotes on the PDF, bro. It's
it
inside.
Must be real. House Sway. I ain't gonna lie on a PDF, Sway.
This is why online people think I'm gay. That's my boyfriend, apparently. My manager, Ash. I see him in the cage with them all the time. They always hugging his must be a sugar daddy.
He told me you didn't want to strike today.
Nah.
When he came back to the house today, he was like, dude, he's lucky he didn't want to strike against me. That's what he
bro.
Was
like. You know what's good about having the guests in Puerto Rico?
What?
I don't feel rushed because I know they're trapped here. I know they have nowhere else to go besides here.
There's no like PR agent like, hey, we got to get him out of here.
No, like,
there's nowhere to go.
I'm looking
where
at
gonna, I can't even go to the grocery
can't
store.
Go to the grocery store.
Doesn't exist.
There is none. I'm looking at 2 of the best fighters in the world playing on my drum set.
Well, and they have a good time. That's another reason why you don't have to worry about them leaving. It's like they're at the Fun Factory. What was Derek's thing called?
Yeah, the Fun Factory.
Is
yeah,
that was about it. Right? Well, is it Chocolate Factory?
The whiskey helps. The whiskey helps.
Yeah, they're definitely having more fun now.
We've been drinking. It's, what is it? 4:23 on a Tuesday. Welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. Thank you guys for listening, watching, viewing, and subscribing. And I really mean that. Man, it's been a long journey, and we love sitting down and chatting shit with the boys. We got some of the best fighters in the world in the house today. Israel Adesanya. Matt, do you think we should bring him in for the podcast?
That's actually crazy that he's here after all the shit that's been going on the past couple months. After the Pereira victory,
I
to just have him live and in the flesh.
I'm gonna ask him. He's coming right now. I'm gonna ask him.
He's not even. He might be the coolest person on the planet.
He's sick, dude.
Let's go. Let's get impulsive.
Whenever you're ready.
Whenever buddy. You're ready, boss.
We're ready for you.
Drum roll, please.
Let's go, ladies and gentlemen. He's one of the biggest superstars in the history of the UFC. He's middleweight champion of the world. He loves dancing. He loves anime. It's Israel Adesanya, ladies and gentlemen.
So clapping twice.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me. We're inside, but we outside.
I wish I had a better...
No, we got it. No, that was good. That was really good.
Dude, this whiskey's hitting me a little quicker.
I love
than
it. Thank you. Bless.
Yeah. I saw y'all breaking it out. I didn't want to be excluded.
No, we're team.
Dude, welcome to fucking Puerto Rico.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
I can't believe you flew here so far.
Yeah. I didn't count. But the thing with me, though, I mean, anyone who knows me, they know when I fly, I pretty much teleport.
Elaborate.
Yep.
Explain like, that. I get on a plane before or after it takes off. I'm gone. I might make my bed or whatever. But then I wake up. I might be like, oh, 6 hours left. And I wake up again. Oh, an hour left. Cool. And that's me.
You've mastered fighting. You've mastered the art of travel.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
I've been around. Like, I keep saying, if, you know, the Amazing Race?
Yeah.
I'd kill at that. Speak a few languages.
See, when you say that, it makes me think you could kill someone.
I can, but like, I wouldn't. But I mean, I would do very well in that game because of my ability to pack fast, in a hurry, compact, and get to the airport. Like, I mean, I've never missed a flight, but flights have missed me a couple of times.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, we still make it happen.
Well, dude, you came from what?
New Zealand. So I went New Zealand to Sydney to LA, LA, Chicago to San Juan.
And you lost your bags in Chicago.
I didn't. They did. For whatever reason. I feel it was fugazi because me, Craig, and Paul, they were kind of like, oh, and a few other people online, like probably like 17 people, like getting frustrated.
Yeah,
someone's about to Karen out, and I was just like, oh shit, they're getting frustrated. We weren't allowed on the plane until they had our bags transferred from our last flight to this flight coming up to Chicago. So I feel they kind of bullshitted us to get on the plane, and then they just left our bags back there. So it's whatever. I have my carry-on. I put undies in my carry-on, so it's good. And then Ash already had a lot of Engage gear, so
see, yeah. Even that right there tells me you're a professional. Like, you had a extra backup underwear in the carry-on.
Yeah, I was ready.
I can tell that when I'm working with a fighter, there's a different energy there. Like, I was worried for a second. I was like, these guys might be tired. He lost his bags. He's going to be frustrated. He got here. He told me, he's like, dude, I was sleeping in like trains in China on the come up.
I've been through worse. That's the thing. It's perspective. Even today, I woke up today. Okay, so I posted a little bit on my story. So I woke up today. I had maybe 3 hours sleep from, or four, maybe three or four from like, say, 2:33 a.m. I woke up around 6 a.m. and I was just like, I'm up. But I slept. Or teleported here anyway, so I had a lot of sleep loaded up. So I woke up fresh, and I was in bed from 6 to like 7 a.m. I was like, right, I'm going to go on a bike ride. Then I went on a bike ride around the Ritz.
You went on a bike ride this morning?
Yeah, around the Ritz, just like on the little like beach cruiser.
Cruiser, yeah.
And then hung out. Then eventually I went in the ocean, and I chilled in the ocean. The water is so nice.
Nice, right?
So nice. Because even before I hopped in, I was like, it might be cold, so I'm ready for like the cold plunge mentality.
Yeah.
When I hopped in, I was like, oh, shit, so nice. Like, I just sat there. Yeah. And then I was just chilling, and I was just grateful. Like, I remember when I used to sit, I have moments like this in my head where I go back, and I'm just, I remember when I would dream of days like this. Like, I would literally be at my old job, sitting by the water cooler at lunchtime and looking at the city, and then people would be like, oh, what are you thinking of? I'm just like, oh, nothing. But I'm thinking of days like this. So I thought it was a Monday, on a Tuesday, and I'm just like, I'm out in Puerto Rico, at the Ritz on some private beach chilling, you know? September 4th, 2013 is the day I quit that job.
What was it?
I was a metering and billing coordinator. So I was pretty much like doing data input behind screen. So it's 8 hours a day. You know, someone has a gas meter that was broken. I'll get the technician to go fix it. You know, need to read a meter or whatever. Get a reading, all that kind of stuff.
So were you good at that job? Like, were you the champ? Do you have that mentality? Like, were you the champ regardless?
Nope. It wasn't my passion. It was never my passion.
Do you think there's anybody on the world whose passion is
definitely
a meter?
And I respect that. That's the thing. I had to learn this through, Eugene actually taught me. Because one time after I first left that job and I was like, finally I can kind of like just live the life I wanted. He was like, hey, people actually provide for their families doing that and this and that. He kind of schooled me on that. And I was like, you know what? There's nobility in that. If you do that and you provide for your family and that's your passion and you do something to make it happen for them. Someone who comes from where I come from in a lower income like neighborhood from Nigeria, that's their dream. They would fucking kill to make the money I was making back then. They would kill to be living the way I was living back then. So it was perspective. So when I woke up this morning and I did the bike ride, went in the ocean, had a coffee. It's one of those moments I like, because I've never been to Puerto Rico. I kind of just sit back and just go like, yeah, gratitude.
If you start your day with that, you can't have a bad day.
Every day.
Like every single day, if you wake up just happy to be where you're at, like, it's hard to go wrong from there.
Saw this on TikTok. Some guy said, if you had the option of $100 million, but you only have 3 days to live, what would you pick? You saw that, yeah. So that shows that, you know, your days are more valuable than 100 million or whatever it is, or even if it's you only have till tomorrow to live. But it's just because we just take this for granted. So I think just waking up and realizing that it's we're blessed, we're all blessed to be alive. Because some people, and I know this, they never woke up the next day. You know, we've been in positions like that where it's like some people just never, they never rise up.
That perspective mentality is such a strong foundation for mental success.
Yeah.
It's a lot harder, right? It's easier said than done, I think.
Facts, yeah.
But if you can get reps in there, it is reps. And it's one of the many things I think people love about you, bro. Like, you've definitely transcended MMA and the UFC. I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. And that's why I wanted to split up you and Alex on this podcast.
There's so much meat.
There's so much meat.
So much meat.
The boys got meat.
Me and us, you know, so much meat to fillet and get through layers. You know, the fat, the marbling, all that. It's just so much meat between us.
All of it. All of it. You guys are A5 Wagyu. Eat them both at once. I'm going to enjoy each conversation. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like, dude, I've been a fan of you guys for forever, and I resonate with you beyond just your
ability to be the best fighter in the world, bro. Like even the last speech after Pereira, and we're gonna get into it.
Yeah,
man, talking about having that mental fortitude and rising up, and it was one of the most inspiring post fight speeches I've ever seen. Yeah. And we as the viewers were riding for you, man. The Izzy fans, like, what a fucking journey this guy Pereira beat you twice in the kickboxing league, right? Came to the UFC again on some, maybe they should have let it go, but okay.
I gave it to him. He wouldn't have got as far as he did without me because he beat me already, and there's that storyline there. They gave him an easy route.
For sure, for sure.
Because if you look at my title run, my run to the title, and then his run to the title, it's not even close. I fought different styles. I fought big names. He fought one, like, medium name.
This is when I became a fan.
Yeah.
When you fought the big names intentionally.
Yeah.
When you were coming up, you would pick out the hardest guy. Like, bro, handpicking Yoel Romero, the soldier of God, to go toe-to-toe with. I was like, this guy crazy, is he?
But I'll tell you one thing, though. Again, I've said this before. Like, shout out to y'all. He's a beast. It was older when I fought him. I would have fought him if he was younger. But when you look at that fight, me and him, it doesn't matter what everyone cares, but me and him knew who really wanted to fight that time. And it's because, and he did it again in Bellator, apparently. He just kind of stood there and just was inactive.
I've seen these on TikTok. Yeah, these speed up compilations on TikTok.
But I mean, like, I was ready to fight. Allegedly, someone made a big bet on me to win. Real crazy. Allegedly. I don't know who, but someone did. So, I mean, I knew what I was going to do, but hey, shit happens, man.
The whole Pereira thing was so inspiring. And Jake, who we had on this podcast in the a couple episodes ago, made a comment that we need to cherish people and their greatness while they're still active.
I appreciate that.
And you're one of those guys where, I mean, you're definitely getting the recognition, but like people I think got to pay attention, man. Like that in my head as a athlete-ish.
Don't do that. As an athlete, say no, don't do that.
Just I'm
say,
an athlete, mom.
Good. You are.
Yeah,
I roll with you today. I can tell.
Dog, these guys beat my ass today.
It wasn't me. It was Craig. Fuck Craig Jones. Fuck Craig Jones. Hashtag fuck Craig Jones.
That guy is so good at Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
It's magic.
His coach was telling him how to tap me out, and he would do it at his leisure. I had no control.
Yeah, that's Craig. That's what he does. Yeah, he does it to me as well.
He told me you didn't want to strike today.
I thought we were sparring. I thought we were going
to... No. I was like, look, I haven't... Not because I couldn't, but like, I'm just like, look, I've not... Since Craig has been with me for like a month now, I've kind of just like... I made a joke. Striking's boring. You know, who wants to fuck... Knockouts? The fuck? Who wants to do that?
When he came back to the house, he was like, dude, he's lucky.
Yeah.
He didn't want to strike against me. That's what he was like.
I know. I am a lucky guy. I'll say that. No. I am a very lucky guy. We're going to go casino later on. You'll find out. I'm a very lucky guy.
No. I got back to the house with a sore neck. My thumb is pointed in a different direction.
That's Craig. That's all Craig. It was Craig.
He tapped me out 6 times in 5 minutes.
That's him. It's fun to watch. But also, it's even fun to be a part of when you're in it. But you learn to appreciate it, though. You'll learn to appreciate it because it's just like you do something. Like, I go for a DOS choke, and he'll get on my back. And I'm just like, how the fuck? And then sometimes I'll know he's about to do it, but he'll still do it. But the best thing with him is like, I get less sucky every time. I'm able to block some of his moves. But then he's like, oh, I got this whole other deck right here of shit I never even showed you. So he can just like.
That's how those BJJ black belts are. And you know immediately when you're rolling with one of them. It's one of the hardest disciplines, I think, to defend against. Because if you don't know it, you're fucked. Yeah. This person can kill you and break all your limbs at the same time.
Facts.
Summer's coming. Are you ready to unveil your beach bod? Manscaped is here to ensure your body is ready for the wild with their game-changing full body grooming and hygiene products. Don't be the guy at the beach with Austin Powers chest hair. And if you grew some winter man tits, the least you can do is make sure they are hairless. It's time to get ready for hot guy summer by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code Logan. I'll tell you what, when I'm shirtless in the WWE or rolling around on a UFC mat, I feel great having no body hair. Manscaped is dedicated to helping you increase your confidence and level up your full body grooming game with the Performance Package.
That's this one, right?
It's always a tongue twister. The Performance Package 4.0. The kit comes with the Essential Lawnmower 4.0, waterproof, cordless body trimmer, and a ton of other liquid formulations to round out your grooming routine. This trimmer is the best on the market. It features a ceramic blade designed to cut hair on loose skin and to reduce grooming accidents thanks to advanced skin-safe technology. Inside the Performance Package, you'll also find the Manscaped Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer, the Weed Whacker 2.0 for nose hairs, and Shears 2.0 nail kit for your feet. You also get 2 free gifts. Woo! Having the right tools for grooming is essential. Do yourself a favor and always use the right tools for the job. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code Logan at manscaped.com. That is 20% off plus free shipping with the code Logan at manscaped.com. Thank you, Manscaped. Now back to the show.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
You ran into Pereira at the airport.
Yeah. Wow. So that's, bro, my life is a video game, man. I've said this since... I've known this for a while, but after I fought Derek Brunson in New York, I had when Joe Rogan's in the VMA, I said something about Player One. People think I'm joking about that, but I feel Player One is a title that we can all learn to, you know, grasp, you know, and hold the control of our own lives and learn how to play this shit like a video game. My whole avatar right now, I customize this. The way I walk, the way I talk, the way I hold myself, the way I dress. It's all my avatar. This is The Sims. You play The Sims back in the day?
Of course, absolutely. Dude.
Yeah, put them in the house, make them things.
Fucking shit.
Yeah.
Fucking watch.
Light them on fire. What? Who would do that? Not me. But yeah, like, so this is real life Sims. So I do the same thing in life, and I just try to just like play this like a video game. And then this motherfucker, he follows me to MMA, you know, beats me in MSG. And then I finally get my revenge on him. Then he comes to Australia. He was meant to come to the boxing fight, but apparently he heard I was coming and wasn't going to show up. And I was like, oh, I didn't care. I'm not going to be like, oh, what's up? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then by fate or by fucking just God playing The Sims, it's like, let me put these guys in the same airport together. Let's see what happens. And then we're there at the same time. And my manager, Ash, is like, that's Pereira. And I was like, what? And I look, and I was like, no way. It is him. And initially, I was going to do this because I was not stalking him, but I was on his tail for a while, a good 3-4 minutes. So I had a clean shot. No, jokes. jokes. But then, no, but like I saw him and I was gonna go, hey. But I didn't do that. I was just like, you know, in case. So I just kind of like, hey. And then his coach and his girl saw me and they started laughing. And he turns around, is it? Stone cold, no smile, no laugh. And I'm like, what's up, man? And I shook his hand. He's like, because, yeah, that's who he is.
Bro, you haven't had exactly like a traditional post fight. Yeah. And I want to talk about this.
This
like,
new one.
Bro, like, you might be the king of petty. Like,
I'm
like,
the best. I'm the best.
You have been on some shit after that knockout. It's like, every time I saw.
Michael Jordan's right here. And I think I'm just over here. Or maybe even like a notch above. I don't want to say shout out to Mike, but like I think I like to believe I'm petty. Trust me, I will hold a grudge on some people. I can let go of some things. Some things I've let go of in life. Like the first time he beat me, he knocked me out. Oh no, the second time he beat me, he locked me out. I let go of that. I wasn't like, I'm going to get that back. I need to get that back. I was like, you know what? That's life. And I left kickboxing because the promotion I was working for stopped giving me fights. So I let go of that. But... what his kid did to me after that fight, it irked me the wrong way. And I didn't really hold on to it, but it was sitting there. You know, it was just in the archives. And then when the time came, I was like, oh, let me go through the files. And, oh, that's right. That's little, he did that shit.
Every day for weeks, every GIF, every edit, every Fortnite edit, every time I saw an Izzy post, I was like, this is going to be worse than the one before it. Okay, question.
There's a method to my madness, though.
I want to hear it.
So you have to realize, strike while the iron is hot. You know? Say example, Puma or whoever else someone new wanna jump on the scene, jump on the style bender train. What they wanna do, they're gonna ask, what's your numbers? What's your insights? So when this is trending,
Run it up.
Run it up. So people think, oh, he's just posting to be petty. I'm like, yeah, a little bit, but I'm running the numbers up. And I run the numbers up, the money goes up. So now I actually already asked for my insights. Oh, I need your insights for the last 2 months. So for the last this, boom.
Off the charts.
Yeah. And I've got people making so much fire shit. Shout out to everyone who's making edits.
The edits.
Oh, they're insane.
The cartoon edits. I'm not even done.
There's still some more. It's not on me. It's the internet. Internet's undefeated. It's what it is.
But Izzy, question. So going into 287, you have this vendetta because of how he acted post the last fight, and more so because of how his son acted post fight.
This is New York.
One,
yep.
Right? So question, if there ever was another Pereira fight, do you worry at all about how he's going to feel about how you acted post 287?
No. I saw him in the airport. If he had a problem with me, he'll tell me right there.
You looked pissed, though. I'll be honest.
Pissed off?
He made a video, and I wasn't sure if you were with him.
I was hamming it up a little bit. I mean, it's funny. The storyline's funny that he's always chasing me, you know?
It is funny.
So that's why I was just like, when he made his video, and he turned the camera to me, I was like, oh, fuck him. So I kind of hammered up a little bit. But then afterwards, we talked, went through security, took our shoes off, and then we're waiting for our bags to come through the belt. And then talked about, you know, I was like, Jan next, yeah? Because he fought a guy that first MMA loss for me when I went up to 205. Right. And then we talked about, he kind of has the same idea. Like, we pretty much through our limited conversation skills because of his English and my Portuguese, we kind of have the same idea of what's going to happen. But I had to let him know. I thought the same thing when I fought Jan. I thought Jan was going to attack me a little bit more, but he was patient. Mm. So I kind of let him know, just you be patient too. In more so words, I didn't want to say too much, but yeah, I feel like he can knock him out. He can knock out Jan badly because I hurt Jan. I hurt Jan really bad, and that's why Jan decided in the forefront, I'm going to take him down. Mm. He went for the takedown. Mm.
Did that Pereira fight go as you had strategized it to go? And the last one? Yeah, and when did you have the realization about what was going to be the outcome based on his hands dropping, based on all that stuff? Like, what round was it that you made that realization?
In my head, I had probably four different ways that it was going to end. There was no submissions, unfortunately. It was all knockouts, you know? But when I was going, I've said this before. I feel the shower is the most honest place in the world. I go in the shower and I use it as a tool. That's why I'm waiting for my palace to get built, because I've got a shower that's I can do laps in. Because I need it to be a simulation chamber, a hyperbolic time chamber. You're in there with the element of water runneth over you. You're naked and you can think and do whatever you want in there. So when I'm in the shower, I run through simulations and I go through the press conference sometimes. I go through when Bruce Buffer's announcing my name. I don't mean to. It's like Tourette's. It's just visualizing. If you visualize a lot and you're able to, when you visual, example, to answer your question, I didn't really have an answer, but I just knew I was going to finish him and I knew I was going to knock him out. That's the only way I put it on myself. I put that pressure on myself. I have to knock this guy out. I have to, if I decision him, it's not the same. I have to finish this guy because I knew I can. Every time I fight him, the first time I thought I won, everyone thought I won. Second time, I was winning until he caught me in the end. Spectacular story for him. Third time in New York, okay, I'm meant to get revenge. I'm winning, dominating. And then he catches me again in the end. I'm just like, fuck. And I'm like, I know I'm better than this guy. Bro, if he fights me five more times and he beats me five times, I don't care. I just have to show I can beat him. That's all. So it'd be 3-1. I'm like, yeah, I don't keep score. I settle them. And I mean that shit. It's not about keeping score. It's about settling the score. And I just knew. I just wanted to prove, fuck everyone else, but to myself, I can beat this guy. I knew I can beat him, but I just wanted to prove to myself I can beat this guy.
Did it feel like you were about to climb Mount Everest? Because I had guys bit. When I wrestled, obviously way less competitive, but my goal in high school was to be a state champ. That's all relevant. I cared about at the time.
Yeah.
And there were a couple guys I just could not beat, dude. Yeah. And when I had to wrestle them, it rattled me a little bit beforehand. I felt like
you
I
can't
could,
let it.
I tried to beat these guys, but you I just couldn't. Let
it. Even Eugene said it best. He said we weren't going into this mindset of oh, we've lost to this guy, three times. Now we have to go a fourth time. It wasn't that. It was more like we're beating this guy until we just either lose focus or something goes off at the last bit and then he gets us. So that's the mindset we went in with. And I just knew I can beat this guy. I knew in my heart I can beat this guy. So I had to. I did it in the simulation. I made it happen in the simulation. And I just knew. Every time as well, when I visualize, I go deep. I feel like, not an out-of-body experience, but I feel like I can feel the moment. I can feel the energy. I can hear the crowd. I can smell the I don't know. It's palpable. Yeah. You know, feeling
that
is palpable.
Shower, that shower mindset.
Yeah,
that
shower mindset. Exactly. Yeah. I say this as well. My post-fight showers are a thing. For those who know, if you know, you know. Post-fight showers is where I go in there and also kind of just have gratitude. Same thing. You're in the matrix. The element of water is running over you. And you just kind of like, thank you. Mm. Thank you. Okay, we got this done. And just reflect of what just happened. Took a while before I had my post-fight shower after this last one. Tootsies. You know where Tootsies is?
Of course. Yeah. Wait, second floor Tootsies getting shoulder rubs?
Yeah, we also.
Bro. Yep.
Thank you.
You know I know.
You got a bar? That's a Drake bar, right?
Drake lyric. Yeah. And as a matter of fact, I was going to say earlier on the show, I didn't even know if you really existed during the day.
Yeah.
Because I've run into you a number of times.
I've seen you probably, at his house the
probably,
one time.
Probably 3-4, and I was going to ask you about this because but post 287, Miami, one of the most electrifying nights. Like, you got it done on one of the craziest nights in UFC history. Mm. The crowd, the arena, just crazy. And post fight, you know, I 11 is my home in Miami. I've always heard there. And I show up at 11, it's like 5:30 a.m. And I look on stage where there's usually a girl sliding down a pole and she's there. But so is Izzy.
And 11. That's the club. 11.
So is Chuck Liddell.
Yeah.
And so is Tito Ortiz and so is Kamaru Usman. Yeah. And the four Venom guys Page. are just going crazy with this girl sliding up and, you know, going up and down the pole. So I walk up and I say, Izzy, I brought you something. And I handed you 5 stacks of singles like this, like a brick. And I said, yo, that was a crazy fight. And I want to ask you if you remember it, but I already know the answer is no.
I don't actually. I was like.
You were like, thank you, bro. Singles? Thank you. But you were roasted.
I don't remember. 11. It was packed in there. It was packed. A lot of people. Fucking, like I said, Kamaru, Michael B. Even OBJ came down from the top level, came to say what's up with some peoples and seen the legends there as well. Yeah, it was a crazy night. Once I asked him at one point, I was like, well, you know, how long do I have to stay here till? He's like, oh, that was about 40 minutes ago. I was like, oh, let's go. Went home, couldn't sleep. It's probably around like 6 a.m., 5 a.m., whatever. Couldn't sleep. Excuse me. And then after that, stayed up, watched the fight, watched it again. Then I was up just going over some stuff with a couple of my coaches before they left. Then I was up, ate, couldn't sleep, just like. And then I think we went to Tootsie's that night, Sunday. So that was still Sunday. So Sunday morning, we're at 11. Sunday night, we're at Tootsie's. And then Tootsie's was fun, you know, shoulder rubs upstairs, chilling.
Yeah.
And then I just couldn't even like, fuck, how do I put this? I couldn't even get excited because I was just like, my life is more exciting right now. What I just did was way more exciting than what's happening in front of me with all these beautiful women and whatnot right now. Like, I was just so, like, shocked at what I did. So then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I spent in my room at the Airbnb just reflecting, also running numbers
posting up.
Yeah. Bro, like, so I was in my bed. I might nap a little bit, get some Uber Eats. And I went outside each day, maybe like 20 minutes or 30 minutes, just outside, smoke on the balcony. The boys watching me, chilling. But it was more just to reflect and just, again, run the numbers up. But then, then I had a shower. I think I had it on Monday.
Four days later.
No, I had it on Monday, but still, like, yeah, it's one of those things that you just had to, like, you have to reflect. You have to kind of just, like, what the? Because I wrote it on my mirror 8 weeks before the fight, April 8th, 2023, Miami, the greatest comeback in sporting history. It is written by me. And then whenever I go in the mirror, after a shower, you're in the mirror, brushing your teeth, whatever, boom, it's right there. I have to see it. And those affirmations stick with you. People don't understand how this works. I know you do. A lot of people do. Levels. There's levels. No, there's levels. You guys do. Even Jake does. Like, he does before. If he's like, I will knock out Tyron Woodley. So I understand. I know how the magic works. I've been there. But there's levels to it as well. There's new levels I have to discover as well. Even this camp, meditation, psilocybin, like microdosing a little bit just to get in touch with that primal self.
Jake swears by it.
Yeah. Just get to that primal, like, get connected with yourself a little bit, you know? Breath work with my coach, Dave Wood. A lot of things just to tap in. And I, like I say, I put that pressure on myself this whole time. Even the post-fight speech, people, I don't want to, he kind of said some idiot said something, like the Munchkin said something stupid about like, oh, I was, you know, we all practice these or that. All I knew was like, when I was visualizing in the shower, I visualized as well the feeling of what it would feel like to lay this guy out.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
I had like 5 different celebrations. One was against the cage with me facing the cage. One was against the cage where it was with me back against the cage. There was one in the middle. There was a submission. And I had like, you know, if I did this, I'm going to do this. Just like drills. It's like just what I want to do, you visualize. But then the post-fight, I remember just like being, fuck. Like when I'm in the shower, I was like, this feels so good. I feel so happy. That didn't even happen yet. But when you visualize to the way I do, you just, it feels so real because the brain doesn't know what's real and what you're thinking of, what's imagining. So I was just like, all I want people to feel how happy I am. So that's why I asked Joe. I was like, Joe, can I hold the mic real quick? And he never does that. So shout out to Joe Rogan for letting me hold the mic. Because yep. I could have been like, I could have said something stupid.
You could have said anything.
And then they're like, get him off the mic, get him off the mic, get him off the mic in the truck. So he, and then I just was like, Earth, people, listen to me. I, like how I feel right now, I want all of you to feel this happiness. And I feel like those who ride for me felt that happiness because of the way the fight turned out, the dramatic effect of how the fight just like went from, oh shit, oh no, Alex is going to be in the same spot again as last time. He's about to hurt him.
Yeah.
Ah! Crazy.
Yeah.
That feeling, and then just me celebrating afterwards. I feel like those who really fuck with me felt that level of happiness. But again, it was one time in your life. Just one time in your life. I really, and again, I'm blessed to feel this shit over and over and over and over again. And I never take it for granted, man, ever.
I was the litmus test. And I can tell you sitting in front of you that we felt that. Yeah, we felt all of it. And you said it. The one sentence summary is the greatest comeback in the history of combat sports. Yeah. Anyways, like, and I don't know how many people are like truly grasping that, which is why like I'm a hypercritical person, bro. Yo, post that shit as many times as you want, though.
Me too.
Like when you kept posting, I'm like, yo, lean into it. Like,
the internet has no rules. Who makes these? You should have seen me on Valentine's Day 2014. This is when I was kickboxing. I was bored one Valentine's Day. I think I might have had my heart broken at the time. And I was fighting that Valentine's Day, and then I seen all these posts about Valentine's Day, and then I'm fighting that night, already waiting the night before, February 13th. It's Adelaide, Niza Fury. And then I came out to Luther Vandross, Never Too Much. But that whole day, I think I posted 87 times or more, just like memes, just Valentine memes, and my own caption. My captions were the funniest. Like, memes were funny, but my caption, and then those who loved it, but some people, oh no, this is too much. Unfollowing. I'm like, who the fuck cares? Some people are like, oh, you're only allowed to post twice a day. It's like all these weird unwritten rules. I'm like, who sets these rules? Yeah. Who the fuck? I'm like, nah. But I was in bed that whole day just fucking around posting. And it was funny to see people's reactions. Sometimes I do shit as well just to like get that reaction.
Yeah.
Because apparently I'm a rebel without a cause, according to my mom.
I would say that's accurate. I except you got a cause.
Yeah, now I do. But when I was younger, she used to call me like, you ain't a rebel without a cause. I'm like, what? I didn't even know what it meant. But now I'm like, oh, I get what she means. I mean, so I like to push the line a little bit sometimes.
You really are a unique person. I think that's, I mean, what she's
likewise,
trying to say.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, bro. You're paving your own path. You're doing whatever the fuck you want. And you have this like magnetism that, again, people are drawn to. And what you said about visualizing it first, I think people are going to have a couple reactions to it. Like the idea of you having multiple celebrations planned out, I totally get, right? Because you've lived these moments in your head. It's when you're in camp, that's the one thing you do is you live in your head and you can like ruminate on what that feeling is, and then reality just has to catch up.
Yeah, facts.
That's all it is. Like, it's already happened.
Bruh, people don't, like, I feel like we understand, and certain people, when you tap into your player one, and you are player one of your own life, you can. But a lot of people don't understand, and they just kind of like, they just go with whatever life gives them.
So let me ask then, though, because you can speak from a really interesting perspective of reading data meters and then making the switch.
What does that mean?
The meters you were reading back in the day.
Reading data meters.
Oh, y'all, like, for my job.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah. He's like, what does it mean? I was like, I don't fucking know.
Data input for like meters, like gas meters and electric meters.
Yeah. But okay, so some would say that's a average occupation.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure it pays well, but it's a job.
It did.
So like this. So when and how do you flip the switch from going, I'm going to do this to I'm going to be the greatest middleweight champion of the world?
Well, when I was doing that, that was a means to an end. That was just like, okay, I need to do this so I can work in Auckland and live in Auckland City, which was still is an expensive city at the time, and then live my dream training to be a fighter at City Kickboxing. I don't know. For me, it's weird. It might be my ego talking, but I always knew I was never going to be just like an ordinary dude. Who put that in my head? I come from a nice family, a very affluent family in Nigeria. My parents, they looked after me. They loved me. They disciplined me. It was always like, as a Nigerian parent, you're either a doctor, a lawyer, an accountant, an engineer, or a disappointment.
Those are the five.
Yeah. Or either one. So imagine when I told my Nigerian parents, like, I want to be a fighter. You want to be a fighter? What do you mean? Like,
who are you fighting?
Yeah, who are you fighting? What? Like, I was just, because no one from my side of the world had ever, like, really made headway in, especially, well, boxing a little bit, but in MMA, mixed martial arts. Yeah. So when I was saying that, I was like they couldn't understand. But thing I shot them out for is, even though they couldn't understand my dream, they still supported me no matter what. Mm. And when I was in Auckland, there was times I was down on my luck, you know, and pops, can you give me $200? Boom. I don't have to pay them back. Now they're enjoying life. I look after them, but like, they're my parents. And then like, they didn't understand my dream, but they still supported their son. But then when they started to see the numbers go up, they're like, now my parents are analysts. My dad scoped out the top 10 already. Legit. He scoped out the top 10. He knows how I'm going to beat each and every one of them, or how I can beat each and every one of them. Sick. My dad's a very smart man. He's a very smart man. Even my mom as well. She'll tell me. And then when I'll show Ash or anyone else, they'll be like, that's not bad. And that's not a bad analysis. That's like legit. That's what you need to do. Like basic shit. So they support me to the fullest now. And my other siblings as well. I paved the way for my siblings, put it that way. They can do whatever they want now because they don't have to be an accountant, doctor, engineer.
They can do whatever.
Or disappointment. Yeah, they can do whatever they want now. So yeah, I paved the way for them.
Sure.
You had this thing in you that told you that you were going to be something great. Mm. And I have this like curiosity when I look around, and I feel like everybody that's doing something great had that feeling.
Yeah,
you had that feeling. Even when I was, you know, 10 years deep in drugs, like I was like, dude, like this isn't my life. Like I'm supposed to do something more than this.
Yeah.
Do you think everybody has that feeling, and the people that make it are the only people that were able to execute on it? Or do you think that the people that made it are the only people that have that feeling? You said you like psilocybin. Well, now execute.
Yeah, let's go. Okay, well, I'll tell you one thing.
Deep spot.
Each of us, I learned this maybe a couple of years ago. Each of us, apparently there's like billions and billions of sperms every time you nut.
Yeah, billions.
Billions, I've
lost
heard.
A lot of sperm.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
So,
sorry, what's that?
I thought you said
something. About nut?
No, yeah. Sorry, shower thoughts.
But for us to be here, I've seen an animation of actually how it works, and to get to the egg and then break through, and then there's a spark, boom, and then, you're now a fucking embryo or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, sorry, you're an embryo.
Yeah, so now you're here. You won. You won the race. Congratulations.
Some people would say you lost, bro.
Yeah, depends how you want to live. Depends how you want to live.
I agree.
So when you're in there, it's to be here as a gift. But a lot of people don't actually realize or actualize their gift. Everyone, I feel, and I'm not some philosopher or some guru or whatever, but I feel like everyone on this planet has something. Even people I used to be friends with. Example, there's someone I was actually really good friends with, and I told him, I was like, look, because he said his dream one time, and I was like, get it done. I'll help you. I'm his friend. I had influence. I had money. I was like, get it. It was actually a good idea. The idea was, instead of having a police come out to the crisis, like, you know, someone's fucking schizophrenic running down the street, instead of calling the police on them, and then eventually, like, the police don't know how to handle that kind of situation, get a crisis team that's specifically designed to get there and de-escalate the situation and be trained in handling those kind of situations. So instead of calling, like, I thought that's a fucking good idea.
Fantastic.
So I was like, bro, get this done. This is fucking going to help NZ. I'll help you. Yeah, sure. What do you do? Nothing. Literally nothing. You know why? I don't know why. You got to ask him.
I have a theory.
Tell me.
Because I have a couple friends like this.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to start a hostage response team.
No. Yeah.
This one's like, I did these.
Yeah, some he's still people. Around. No. I love Mike.
Well, right. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm saying this.
Go.
Some people have a serious problem executing change. Change is hard.
And people don't like change.
It's uncomfortable and it's foreign. It is the unknown oftentimes. Mm-hmm. And that's a scary leap to take.
Are you going to build out the example of what change I'm avoiding? Oh, are you talking?
You took a while to launch 1010 Burger, dude.
It's not easy.
Did he do it?
Yeah, it's done.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, but
what do you?
But
hold on a second.
No, he only did it because Saudi was like, we are going to do this for you. We'll do everything. We'll handle it. And Mike had to do it then.
No, but also, and I don't know how he peeled it.
In Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, but he still did it.
No, but I don't know how he peeled it.
This guy didn't do it. This guy didn't do it at all.
But also, he may have been doing nothing. I'm a co-founder and co-host of one of the biggest podcasts in the world. I have a massive YouTube channel. Yeah. I have a best-selling book. But
let him know.
I'm saying, let me defend myself.
Let him know. Let him know, Big Mike.
Bro. All right? But, fuck. Here's my question.
I feel like a therapist now. Couples therapy.
No, we need you,
Let's
bro.
Go. Can you help us?
Can help. I'm actually really good.
I believe it, dude.
I'm really good. You could have been a member of the response team.
Ooh.
That dude was looking to build out.
This is what I'm saying. Things can happen that can help the world change, but it takes people like you, me, any of you guys in here to actually make the change happen. But no matter how long it takes, that might be your journey at the time. You know what I mean? You had some other stuff to go through. Excuse me, ignore. But it's your journey, your time. It's in your timing. But now it's happened.
I'll back up a second. He is right. I don't execute at the speed he does. He's Logan is, and I'm sure you know this.
Yeah.
Logan's very mentally strong.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a reason why the results are the results that you see from his life. And similar to you, I battle some shit that haven't perfected yet. And I haven't worked on as much.
Me too.
I know.
There's some shit I have.
Yeah. And I'm not using it as an excuse. Yeah. I'm just saying like sometimes that kind of stuff does get in the way. And I feel like there's probably people watching this that can understand.
Him too. I'm sure. But that's okay.
Yeah.
We all learn at our own pace. Yeah you do. I don't know you that well yet to dive in deep into your personal life, but we all do. We all have things that we haven't perfected yet and we're still learning.
But still, I'm kind of,
and I make those mistakes over and over again till life is like, learn, learn. No, I'm gonna keep repeating
itself. I'm gonna touch the stove.
Yeah,
10 times out of 10, even when I know it's
10
hot.
Out of 10.
I'm touching the stove.
I'm crazy.
Nine
too.
Times out of ten.
I'm crazy.
But it's that leap. You know what it is? That I think maybe gives me an edge over most people's ability to execute.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really care if I fail.
Risk.
I'm not outcome dependent.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah,
it's I'm not,
a journey.
It's the journey, dude.
I never used to be because I didn't learn that. I was focused more on the outcome than the journey until, I can't remember what year this was, but it was early on before the UFC. I had to learn like, nah, it's not really about, you know, the result or if you get here or if you do this. It's about the process, the act of trying to achieve greatness. There is a quote, what is it? Aim for the stars, you might land on the moon.
Yeah, even if you miss, you'll land on the moon.
Yeah.
Do you ever think about that? It might suck. Bro.
Shoot for the moon, even if you miss, you'll land among the stars.
Yeah.
Now, astronomically, astrologically, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, you're not going to make it to any of the actual stars. They're too far. And if you did, it's a burning ball of gas.
It's like an analogy that you can't think about without actually having to go to.
If you had a space suit, you just float into space, your gas tank would start and you'd be dead. And just float into space like a fucking meteorite. It's forever.
Yeah.
Nah, but it's one that everyone says. It's like, shoot for the stars or the sky's the limit. I'm like, who the fuck said the sky's the limit? Have you ever heard about the universe?
Yeah.
It goes deep.
You know who said that?
Huh?
Hamza.
Who's that?
Hamza.
Kamayev?
Yeah.
The sky's the limit.
Yeah.
No, he didn't make that.
He's trying to transition.
You know what else he said?
What?
He said the UFC is protecting you from him.
Really?
Yeah, what is
that?
He said you don't want the smoke.
When did he say that? Isn't he fighting Kamaru?
It's in my notes.
It's in the PDF.
Could have never been said ever. Our producer.
I don't see it.
You know, chance it was made up.
Nah, literally. I've heard this. Ray, you sure? Recently. He said some shit in the past. Even after my... He always tweets after my fights anyway, but I don't respond to nonsense. Everyone does. There'll be someone... There'll be like five... I'm the champ. Even like when Pereira took the belt, I was still the champ. I wasn't the UFC champion, but they still call me champ in the streets because I'm me. I'm Israel Adesanya. I have that name, that target on my back no matter what. And I said that even leading up to this last fight. Like, people are like, oh, do you feel the pressure, you know, has been taken off you now that you've lost the belt? I was like, nah, I'm still Israel Adesanya. Like, I'm still the last stylebender. They want to fight me because I'm one of the greatest in this game right now. And they want to have me on their mantelpiece or that name like, yeah, I beat him or I fought him. Even if you lost to me, it's still like when it's said and done, you'd be like, man, I don't mean this in a patronizing way, but like, you'd be like, man, I fought. With Alex even, I'm just like, I lost to him three times. And I'll tell my grandkids like, yeah, I lost to him three times, but I got him in the end. But I'll tell them how he beat me. And I'll still be proud of that I went through that. I went through that and then came back and beat him. So people always talk shit because it's me. It's whatever, but meh.
I got this video 3 days ago of you responding to him for calling you out.
That's a lie. Wait, oh, to Chamzat?
Yeah.
That's a lie. Well, lie.
So all of this is fictitious.
I don't know. Bro, you can't believe MMA media. That's the thing. You like sometimes they'll grab something.
It's like a soap opera kind of.
Nah, they'll grab something and just run with it. And I wouldn't even say shit. After New York, when I lost to Pereira in New York, I kind of just, you know, put it this way. I stopped looking at MMA media because I was just like, you know what? Let me get back to real life.
Yeah.
I trained, helped my teammates. I traveled a little bit. I went to Morea. But then I was just away from all the nonsense, the noise. Because I was like, I need to like desensitize. Is this desensitize? I just need to like move away from that. So whenever you see something, take it with a grain of salt unless you hear from the horse's mouth. On Freestyle Bender on YouTube, check it out. That's when you know.
So your content.
That's
why you're so good. You're a content creator.
So that's why after my last fight, you know, I had a lot of offers. Like people was like, oh, come through. I want to talk to you about this. But I was like, I'm still going through it in my head. Let me feel. Everyone wants to be first in this day and age. They want to be first. Put it out first. But it's not about being first. It's about being right.
Yeah.
It's like, so I just wanted to feel how I felt.
But is it though? Because it seems like now it's about being
first.
That's
them. That's them. I don't want to play one. Yeah. I play with my rules. That's me. So I was just like, I'm not going to just jump at going this and then do this and then speak. I want to feel how I feel first. This is the, apart from Young Man Rumble, episode one, this is the first time I'm speaking about this fight publicly. Yeah, on any other platform.
Because we asked you to come on after it. And you said you wanted to do
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you did. Yeah, again, I had not just you. I had a lot. Like, because, you know, it was such a great story.
Yeah,
They want to get it, like, fresh. But I was like, nah, let me marinate this. Let me feel. So, yeah, that's bullshit. I don't know what he's... I don't even know if he actually said that.
What about this other note that I have about John Jones?
What'd he do?
He said that you were currently his favorite fighter.
That's a lie.
What the fuck? Bro, yo, call Dylan. call Dylan. Get him on the phone. Jones said you're current.
He likes me, but he's not going to put that out publicly. Hell no. He'll never
put it out. Dude, okay. Here's where I got to draw the line. It's inside quotes. It's inside actual quotes. On the PDF, bro. It's inside.
It must be real.
Yo.
On the PDF?
I'll read it to you. I'll read it to you.
On the PDF? You can't lie on the PDF.
Look how long the PDF is.
He said, out, Sway. How you going to lie on the PDF, Sway?
It's a PDF, dude.
You ain't got the answers.
I'm going to read you the quote.
Nah, but Dylan makes stuff up sometimes.
He said, I hate to say this.
He's our producer. He makes the PDF.
Oh, nah, he's doing this shit to fuck with you guys. He's trying to get
clicks. No, there's some stuff in here that, like...
He's trying to get clicks.
Oh, he's fine. I mean, he's fine.
That's all. Well, at least you have me here to set the record straight. Is that Dylan?
No. He's not here. He didn't make it to...
Bro, this is the quote. This is the quote from John Jones. In the UFC, my favorite fighter right now, I hate to admit it, but I would say... Israel Adesanya. And there's twice. It says it twice.
That's a lie.
Him and I are not friends, but that's he's probably the most entertaining guy in the organization right now.
That's a lie. Did you hear this? I'm Googling it. But in the meantime, can you help me? Matt, can you help me one of these, please?
Thank you. So wait, sorry. So you're telling me my producer produced
a... He lies.
Whoa. He lies.
Hold on, hold on.
Lies.
Wait, assume it's true. Assume it's true.
Nah.
Bro.
Okay.
This is fishy.
It's true. It's true.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I hate to admit it.
So is there a chance the Hamzat story is true as well? Is there a chance the Chimaev story is real too? I'm getting your... Because it sucks because this is my job, right? And so now I'm looking like I'm over here looking like a fucking idiot.
I was like, nah, he's lying. There's no fucking way. Because the Hamzat one, I was like, I didn't hear. Sometimes I'll get shit and then like David or my family group chat, maybe my friend's group chat will send something and I'm just like, oh, that's where I get news from. Because I don't follow these pages. Well, the pages I don't really like because I know like they just... And just clickbait shit.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah. So I'll hear things secondhand, and I'll check, and I'm like, oh. And if I have to respond or want to respond, I will. But not is that true?
Yeah.
When was that?
Oh, Sporting News.
I want to see. That's funny. Isn't you can go back to Israel? Him and I are not friends. We've never met. We've never had a real conversation. So how the fuck are we gonna be friends if we've never had a real conversation, like a proper one? All we've had is beef. And I ain't vegan, but it's in the show right now. Yeah, that's fair. I mean, even he picked against me in the last fight. I saw that because he beat Cyril. You can watch my, look, catch. Sorry, my bad. I don't know. Fuck your old phone up.
I mean, that's gotta
you
be cool.
You guys are getting exclusive now. I don't even like to talk about this shit, but like you watch, like for me, I'm growth. Growth is something you have to go through as a human being, as a man, especially maturity. There was a point, yeah, where we were like, and it's, I came to the UFC and I felt like, it's up to him to admit this. I felt like he was a fan, but then he was kind of like, ugh, there's another, another coming in this game and just like taking the shine, but there's enough room for us to shine. This is not like a, even fucking, I said that about Henry Cejudo when he was talking shit about me and I felt like, I'm not even your weight class. You're a munchkin. Like, you don't have to hate on me for doing what I'm doing. Like, just, we can be in our own lanes and be great. I've been a fan of John since I saw him at UFC 92. He fought Stephen Bonner. Rest in peace. Bless.
Oh, sure.
And I saw what he did in that fight. No, UFC 94. What am I saying? That was UFC 94. BJ Penn versus St. Pierre 2. No.
Sheesh.
Hold up. Yes.
You were a student of the game.
Where were you just looking right there?
In the ether. I was trying to go through, I was like, the Rotodex. I was like, which one was it? And I'm looking at the posters. I'm like,
you had to get through all the prayer posts. And then I was like, okay, get out of my way.
I was a fan. So, and then I think he was as well. But then he mentioned something about like, oh, I'd like to fight Israel. And I was like, why the fuck was he going to fight me? I'm middleweight. But then I responded back and then we had beef. And then for a few years, it was like that. Then after I fought Costa, it went really deep. And then that was a fight. That was around the time it could have happened. But I don't know what happened. Scheduling, COVID reasons, whatever. And I fought Jan. But real recognized real, I put it that way. That's real. I thought that was a joke.
Bro, I'm telling you.
My bad to the producer. What's his name again?
Dylan.
Sorry, Dylan. who's Dylan?
He's not here.
Okay, he's not here.
Nah, he's like a remote producer.
Cheers, bro. Cheers, lads. Likewise, Mike, cheers. Just bro. Fist bump. Yep. Yes.
So, okay. So, at least I have a little bit more faith in our PDF at this point.
Yeah. Oh, my bad. Sorry. I was like, the PDF can lie. You don't have to trust the... Hey, Mike, look at me. You don't have to always trust the PDF.
Dude, just question... I want to be able to.
No. But just have a little bit of like, just question everything. Just
do you
make
question
sure.
everything?
Fuck yeah. Even myself. You have to question even myself. I'll question myself on certain things. That's how you grow.
For sure.
Because, not recently, but how many years ago? I kind of like, because we all grow up with programmings from our parents, from school.
Society,
whatnot. And then you grow up with these beliefs you had. And then it's just what you believe. Then you grow up and you're like, that's how I feel. So a lot of people don't like pause and, oh, hang on. Where did I get that from?
Yeah.
Who, what's one? Marriage. That was one I was just like, oh, this is what you do. You just get da, 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 da. It wasn't until I was in college and in my design history class, this lady, my tutor, shout out to Lynn Hurst. She was the one that kind of like used to challenge us a little bit. And she challenged us on the notion of marriage. And I was just like, and then she challenged us like, and I thought about it. I was like, look, I'm the kind of person, if you give me new information and it's
it makes sense to me and it's credible, I am able to change my mind. And it might be like that. It literally might like a paradigm shift and just like, oh shit, that makes sense. Huh. And I'm not attached to any idea or ideology where I'm just like, oh, because a lot of people are like that. Politics, religion, whatnot.
I'd say most people are like that.
Yeah, and they just hold on to it.
To be flexible and adapt one's mind is kind of foreign.
I've held on to this for so long. Yeah. I can't, if I let go of this, then who am I?
Yeah, but how do you navigate in this age of disinformation, misinformation, misguidance,
question everything,
guidelines? But then when you get answers to those questions, you have to question those answers.
If I'm wrong, oh fuck, I got that wrong. Oh well, that makes sense for me. Oh okay, that's foolproof fact. Cool. Then if I find out that's fact, cool. But if I'm wrong, excuse me, I'm not.
Why is it always
a
burp?
Then make a compilation.
Why is it always a burp? Then
do it. Yeah, that's a thing. It's a thing. Yeah. It might be a stomach thing. I don't know. A doctor said it once. I don't know. Maybe.
But even if he said trust him.
Sorry.
Like, you got to question that. You know what I'm saying? Like, is it a stomach thing?
I've checked it out because I don't feel like it's affecting me yet.
Right.
If I feel like to a point where it starts to affect my life in a negative way, then I'm going to get professional help. But everything, I mean that honestly, question everything.
For sure.
Even myself. I question myself, example, why I would feel, okay, years ago, one of my friends was working in the mines in Australia and I was living in New Zealand and I just moved to Auckland to start pursuing this dream of being a fighter. And he's like, bro, come to the mines. I'm making $2,500 a week, Australian, you know? And it was very enticing. He's got like 2 weeks on, a week off, you know? And I'm just like, fuck, I wanted to. And I found myself kind of just like, I stopped picking his calls. I stopped really replying to his texts as immediately. Then I was like, wait, I caught myself like, hang on. Why am I feeling jealous? This is 2010. Mm. I found myself like, why am I feeling jealous of him? I was like, he's not doing anything that's affecting me. But I found myself feeling jealous of his position. And I was like, oh shit. And I feel like once you identify that monster, you can kill it.
What you're describing
is
called self-awareness.
Yeah. Now, Player one.
I've met a lot of people.
I'm not a bot. I'm not a
You're a real person.
I'm not an NPC. I don't roll around and just, well, this is nice today, isn't it? Press A. Like, I don't play that. A lot of people do. Fuck, Jeff's seen it. Jeff's watched me with fucking many fans. And it literally, shout out to my fans. I love my fans, but I also meet a lot of NPCs. And you're not unique. They all have the same storyline. They're all the same. Sometimes the same dialogue, you know what I mean? I'm sure you've got this as well.
Let me say something.
Yeah.
I think that's going to rub a lot of people the wrong way. I also think you're extremely fucking right. Unfortunately, that's where we're at. The world.
I say it how it is. The fuck world fame, needs drones. I love the perks.
Bro, the world needs drones. And
I love my fans.
I think a lot of people aren't going to take life into their hands like you have.
They have to if they want to be player one. If they want to really like be the controller, hold the controller of their life and play. I've said this before. It's on record. I've been like, I love my fans individually. When I've met some fans individually and they come with respect and I give them respect back, I'll give you even more time. You've seen me, Jeff. Correct or no?
So there we go. You reciprocate energy.
100%. Yeah. But then when you come with entitlement and the same NPC dialogue and you think I owe you some shit, then I'll just like, no, I'm not doing this.
What are they asking you for? What are they saying to you?
I either want a photo or something, but sometimes also they want more as well. If you give them an inch, I've learned. If you give them, you've seen this. Come on, man. You've been in this game so long. You give them an inch to take a mile. But for me, when I talk about this, like individually, I really like fans. But sometimes in mobs, they're so stupid. Most times in mobs, they're so stupid.
Mob mentality.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's for the fucking pack. Oh, they all saying this, so this must be true. And then they just like same rhetoric, and they're just like,
but it's human nature, is he?
Yeah.
It's human nature. Just like I want to touch on the self-awareness thing, because I've met a ton of people with amazing qualities. But the one quality that I cannot get past if you don't have it is self-awareness.
True.
If you have no regard to what you're putting out, how you're acting, and like ability to identify what you're feeling and why, you're gonna be a tough person to be around.
Just question yourself. That's why.
Always.
I do as well.
I do, but I'm hypercritical. But like, I think it's a general note for a lot of a lot of people.
Well, it's also a learning process. I mean, yeah. you weren't always a self-aware individual.
I wasn't either.
No, but yeah. I'm saying, and I surely wasn't either. You have to grow into it. It's definitely something that comes with wisdom and time and learning and
for sure.
and better understanding the for world sure. around you.
I feel like it's always there, though. There's always a whoever you are in your life, there's always a point where you could have that. And some people aren't blessed with that, but I feel like there's always a point where you could have that opportunity to like, okay, why did I feel that way? How did that make me feel? Why did I choose that decision instead of this one? And then I literally will sit down. I used to be a night owl. In camp, not so much these days. I get sleep because I realize sleep is fucking important.
Super.
It's really good, and it's one of the best. Eugene was telling, my coach was telling me this for years, and then when I finally went there, I had this epiphany. I told him, he's just like...
That's what I've been telling you, dog.
Actually, and then I was like, yeah, I know. But I finally get it, and I realized. So when I used to be a night owl, though, I'd be up all night. I might be stoned. I might be sober. I might be on YouTube. I might just be chilling. I might just be in my head. But I'll just go through certain scenarios in my head. Again, in the what do you call it? Like the simulation. The just figuring shit out. Figuring out myself. How do I feel? How do I want to live my life? What do I want to do?
Checking in with yourself.
Yeah, checking in with myself. That's my time. You know why? Because the whole world's asleep. That's why I liked it. Everyone else was asleep. Vamp life. Night owl. Yeah. I was like, everyone's asleep. I felt like Batman, but just in my house.
You know what I feel like? Yeah. You know what I feel like gives people that ability to check in with themselves, that Prime. Ability to be self-aware is Prime. No, being humbled.
Like that. Like Prime, really? How? I caught what you said. I was like, ah, same. Where are you going?
I hate when he does
that. Oh, no, go do it. No, go do it. Not gonna make
better. I drank too much Prime.
Yeah.
Great drink, but I really gotta pee.
Go do your thing.
Nah, it's I have a theory that everyone could use a good humbling. And for some reason, unfortunately, but fortunately in the long term, taking an L, failing, falling short, is the most beneficial thing that can happen to a human being.
Facts.
Obviously, when it happens, it's the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
But if you can learn from it and grow from it, you're going to be so much stronger and know so much more than... you would have had that not happened.
Facts. You see, New York, after I lost, right, I get, for the third time, lose to this guy. Second time by knockout or TKO. Mm. You know, I go backstage. I go backstage and I see my family. The New York one, I didn't invite my family to. Only my brother. My brother, David. Was the only person I allowed because he works for, you know, he actually invented my YouTube channel. So shout out to him. He made Freestyle Bender. He made it happen. So I let him come because he does a lot of the filming and whatnot.
Just too much on the line?
I just felt like I wanted to be soldiers only. That was my quote for that camp. I was like, soldiers only. If you're not a soldier, I don't want you here. And I told my family specifically, I was like, I don't want you guys here because I didn't want to deal with all that. But then I saw him backstage and I let him know I was okay. I called my family straight away. I was like, I'm okay. I just want them to know I was okay because I know that my mom would have been crying. Yeah, I know my sister would have been crying. Sure. I was like, I'm okay. I'm fine. And then something that, shout out to Andrew Schultz. He said, when I did the flagrant,
you did it right after the loss, right?
The next day.
I thought that was an amazing decision.
I did hot ones. Also the press conference as well. I rolled up. Guess what? I wore my AP on.
Yeah.
Fur coat, shirtless. Yeah. I was outside.
I felt like you were unaffected.
Because I've had worse shit happen to me.
Yeah.
The world don't know about it, though, because I don't put my shit out there like that. But I've had worse shit happen. I've lost in life and love and friends and family. I've had so much worse shit happen to me, even with myself. So I was just like, this is nothing. But then, because it's on a world stage, I feel like everyone's looking at how they would take this loss through my lens. So they're like, oh, fuck, is he okay? But the one thing Andrew said was like, seeing you, because even when he saw me, he was like, on the point, like, seeing you be okay made me feel okay. So it's like, oh, okay, it's okay. Like, he's okay, so we can chill.
I felt that too. Yeah. I felt that too. I follow Andrew.
Because you
I
care,
love
that's why,
like,
yeah.
I saw it and I went, oh, I thought this was going to be like devastating for
everyone
him.
Thinks I was like, oh, like, I'm going to hide under a rock.
Yeah.
And just like cry for days. I hate losing. I fucking hate losing. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I hate losing. But
And it's not a flex, but I know how to take a loss because I've taken it so many times in my life in different avenues. So this for me, I was just like, it's just fighting. I've lost before and I've come back and I'm fine. And normally when I come back from a loss, I knock the other guy out.
Yeah.
Wallahi. Each of my losses from boxing, kickboxing, MMA, even this last one, I just lost to him. I came back and I knocked him the fuck out.
Are you religious?
I'm spiritual.
So LA.
Oh, that's funny.
You've been in LA for too long.
Well, also I stay from the devil's asshole. I love LA and Vegas. I love those places, but actually, even in Vegas, I just have to live off the strip. Same with LA, I just have to stay away from the city. But I know me.
Where would you, Izzy?
What does it mean? What does it mean?
No. I know me, and I know my limits, and I know what I can handle or deal with. Because I'm human. At the end of the day, I'm regular. I'm just another dude, but I do extraordinary shit because I am player one. But I just know I grew up in a religious household, but when I was young. Sunday school, I remember asking, have I told this before? Yeah. Oh, you know the story. Yeah, okay. I remember asking like my Sunday school teacher, well, if God made the world, then who made God? And no one had an answer for me. I asked my parents, I asked my housemates, and one of my aunties, I remember I kept on asking for like a whole week, and she goes, if you keep asking that question, you will go mad. I was like,
Okay.
Okay, then that was when I was like, okay, I don't think these adults really know what's happening. I don't think, because I was probably like 7, 8, but I remember thinking like, no one has it. Like, because I was just like, it's a simple question. I was like, all right, God made the world in 7 days. He created, let there be light, boom, Genesis, you know, whatever verse that is. And then I remember just like asking like, well, if God made the world, who made God? And then no one had an answer for me. So then now over the years, I've gone through a renaissance with religion in a sense where like I know how many people wrote the Bible. I know it was written by so many different men and was misconstrued, and then there's the new King James version. But I've also, again, I've been on some trips where I feel like I've been there. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Yeah, I feel like I was like, oh, and then we connect and we talk. Or not English, but like, you know, and I'm just like, okay, bet. And then now I'm in a spot in life where even recently, like you see some of my posts, I'm like, yeah, you know, thank God.
I saw it today.
Yeah, I don't like using, like the word God got really triggering for me at a certain like phase in my life because it felt like, it was almost like the word, what's the word? It's almost like, it was like a, people have like overuse it in a way where it's like, oh, it doesn't really mean what it means. Even like woke used to be fucking like, if you're woke,
it was a good thing.
You see what's happening. Yeah. But now like woke is like these other people have exactly. Yeah. And now it's like a negative connotation with it. So you can't really use it in that sense. Hey, shout out to Engage. Stay woke, stay broke.
Isn't it crazy to see a terminology or a word
change
have such a flop?
Gaze to mean
like
happy.
That?
Now you means right. You like right. Men or women of the same sex.
Two differing definitions is one thing, but to have something go from a good thing to just a severe bad thing is just wild.
It's
but
weird.
It's also life.
Yeah, some words are like that. So I've seen that with woke and I've seen that with religion, and the word God for me was like that at a certain point in my life. Through my maybe not teenage years, maybe like 19. Okay, I started drinking at 18. Not that I didn't believe in God, but I just like, I lost my virginity.
When?
And then 18.
Did that help you?
That
believe
surprises
in God
me.
More?
Why? You thought I was a whore? Shut up.
I don't know, bro. Good looking tall dude.
Yeah,
like,
I wasn't always this way. I bloomed very late. I was short, had a same size head. Skinny body, so I looked like a lollipop. And I was, also a black kid who moved to New Zealand. I wasn't really what people was looking for.
Hey,
so
it ain't about where you start, bro.
I ain't even done yet. I'm still glowing up. I'm still glowing up. Yeah. But, so for me, I don't know where you're going with that question, but like, the word religion, for me, I won't say I'm religious, but I understand that in this world,
was it? We're spiritual beings living a human existence.
Jake, you and Jake would have it.
Bro, me and Jake at that party after in LA.
The shit out of the breathwork.
I was at the house, and then me and Joe. So at the party, I pulled up to the house. I choked you from the back. Yeah. I was like, I whispered some sweet nuns in your ear.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, we're chilling. I seen Jake shirtless with like two watches, five chains on. And then me and him eventually just dished everyone and just kind of like walked around the house with like two other people and then just yawned and just talked about life.
Yeah, this makes sense.
Yeah, so me and him just like connecting. That was where I first realized because I didn't really know who you guys were like properly because I didn't really.
That was the first night we met.
Yeah, yeah, but like, I mean, like on TV or YouTube and stuff but because even before that fight, I had to do my research to be like, okay, what does he do? And I learned so much about him. And I was like, seeing all the stuff he was getting, all the hate and whatnot, like, oh, he's like, this is, I think it was a second boxing fight.
Yeah, he beat Nate Robinson.
Yeah, so it wasn't meant to be a boxer. And I was kind of like talking to him that night, and I realized, like, oh shit, he's crazy.
Yeah.
No, literally.
that was the realization.
Because I never met him before. No, I was like, oh, he's crazy. I was like, he's legit. He really wants to do this. And then every time anyone asks me about that, about him since I met him, excuse me, that night, reflux.
Is that what it is?
Like, maybe. I don't know. We'll find out.
I'll see a doctor.
I'm alive.
As far as we know.
But that night, though, I remember, like, there's a point, though, we're just chilling, talking for ages. I stole one of his ideas in his room at that house with a tank. But I had another idea with it. I was going to put it at the beds here, the headrest, and it was going to be in the wall. Like literally a fish tank in the wall.
Ah, sure.
Yeah, because I like the way it illuminated the room.
Yeah, it was cool.
So we're chilling, and I was just like, he's crazy.
Yeah.
He's going to do this. Like, or if he, either he's crazy enough to make it happen or he's going to fail, but he's crazy enough to try. And guess what? I can relate because when I was coming up, it was like, I'm going to win King in the Ring on this date. I would tell anyone who was going to watch or who I'd work with at that time, I think months before, I'd be like, I'm going to watch King in the Ring on October, da, 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 da. I'm going to win this tournament, this kickboxing tournament. Like, oh, okay, good luck. Like people would look at you like, the fuck, this guy's just telling me. And then when I won, first thing I did was, told you so.
Yeah.
And I won it two more times after that. And then two different weight classes. So I understood from that point, I was like, he crazy.
Yeah,
I like that. So yeah, I'm just feel like I've learned this recently, like over the last 2 years, maybe like we are spiritual beings living a human existence. We're not humans who then go into like the ether or whatever. Who knows? I've never died.
Who knows?
Yeah. But I've been to the other side a little bit.
I'm sure you've had a couple ego deaths.
Yeah, not a couple. Yeah, a couple. Yeah, a couple.
Also, how do you know you've never died? Like, how do you know you're not a reincarnation of another?
That's player one.
Okay, prayer one. Okay, you know what?
That's player one.
New life. I don't.
Question everything.
I don't. No, also, one thing I'm not afraid to do as well is just admit, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
Because a lot of people will feel like, especially on the platform, you're on the podcast, you're like, I don't want to look dumb. Like, I don't have an answer.
Powerful words.
Yeah. But I'm like,
I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So even maybe this is like the last year and a half, 2 years. Yeah. I'm just like, actually, I don't know, because everyone wants to feel like they know. Everyone wants to feel like they're smart. They're Neil deGrasse Tyson or some shit on anything, or with even Bitcoin. Oh, yeah, I know this and that. And then I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no
Very
idea.
Very powerful words.
Let's find
Very
out. But guess what that does? It relieves you of the responsibility It relieves you of the fallout if you act like you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and you try to pretend you do, and then eventually like, oh, shit. Yeah, I fucked that up, you know? And then you get to learn. You actually get to learn if you just say, I don't know. Also, even it's good for yourself to say, I don't know. Then you kind of like verbalize it and like, oh, I'd like to find out.
Mm.
So actually, I don't know if we've died and this is a reincarnation. I have no idea. I'm not going to be one of these people that I was a warrior in my past life and this and that. I might have been a fucking watermelon salesman in my past life.
You might have been a watermelon.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I was thinking of Avatar. What's the guy on Avatar? The cabbage. My cabbages.
I know you're talking
about that guy. Yeah, I might have been that guy in my past life, and the one before that I might have been a fucking dung beetle or some shit.
Yeah,
you know. But now this is where I'm a warrior in this lifetime.
Yeah,
and then who knows if I die and then I get reincarnated, I might be
a dung beetle again.
Prime energy.
I'd be prime energy.
Might be Jeff's son.
I'd be that dude's son right there.
Yeah,
I feel like I should mention
the whole reason why you're here, like what's happening. We're at the end of the podcast, but
are we at the end already?
I mean, I want to get Volk.
Yeah, we got Volk in
here. I want to get Volk on.
You know, the greatness.
But no, dude.
You mean while I'm wearing this fucking nice ass?
That's what I'm saying.
By the way, VVS. Dude, that's like 250 G's right there.
Nah,
dude,
no way.
No, bro, it's not 250. It's not 250.
I was gonna say Drake gave me a nice chain too.
No, I think it's
between 20 and 25.
That's nice though. It's not even about the price. Fuck the price. It's about what it signifies. I feel like I'm in my prime right now.
Let's go.
I'm in my prime right now, and I'm riding this shit. So this right here, it fits so perfectly.
I mean, dude, it's an honor to give that to you, to give that to Volkanovski. For those who saw the announcements, man, the most disruptive beverage in history has just signed two of the best fighters in the world to our team. And you guys are the first two official Prime athletes. Israel Adesanya, Alexander Volkanovski.
Yes,
and that is representative of this, I guess, first venture we have into sponsoring athletes.
Appreciate it.
Man, we're so
I gotta give you a chain as well, but I'll find a logo or something. I'll give you one later on.
Whatever you want, man.
We'll figure it out.
I know you got engaged. I would like some.
He gave me, actually, he was the first one. Ash from Bill Castro was the first one.
Oh, is that mine?
Yes, it is. Oh,
speaking of which,
I got
a backpack.
Oh, that shit's
my God, we going camping.
You can share some stuff as well. Yeah, bet. The Haunted Tee and some new ones as well you'd like.
Sharp.
Oh, no worries, man.
But nah, bro, we're glad to have you on the team. I'm stoked you came out here and choked me out with your boys.
It wasn't me. It was Craig. Fuck Craig Jones.
You got me with the triangle.
Oh, yeah.
I watched the video back. I forgot at first.
Oh, no, actually, I forgot. You just reminded me. I was like, oh, yeah.
No, yeah. It was.
No, wait. You got out the first one.
I got out the first one.
Yeah,
the second one you cinched
it. That's right. Yeah.
But, bro, I only got out because you said you can get out.
Yeah, because I was like, it was tight, but I was like, if I wanted to cinch it up, I could have. I was like, nah, you can get out.
Yeah.
So you didn't go out. I was like, good. I'm a good coach as well.
You are, dude.
I'm not one of these guys who just, also one thing I appreciate, you don't roll with ego. Because I've had some people in the past, when I go to certain gyms all over the world, and it's just like people, you know, I'm Israel Adesanya, I'm the champ, or I'm coming up, or whatever, back then. And they're just like, oh, okay, it's my chance. This is my chance to like show. I'm just like, bro, even sparring. I'm like, no, it's not about ego. It's about learning.
Never, ever. I mean,
nah, but I like that. And I know you I know you were tired and not. You haven't been trained like I have, or he has. But like, yeah, you're strong. That's one thing I'll say. You're very strong, but also you're capable.
Thanks.
Yeah, capable.
Yeah, I might have to do
just one. Nah, you do one. You will do one. I know you'll do one. Even Jake will do one. But it's about finding the right opponent that'll sell.
Let me tell you something that's slightly problematic.
Walk on. Are we about to get impulsive?
A little bit.
Are your impulsive thoughts about to win?
No. It's not an impulsive thought. It was an impulsive seed that blossomed into what's like it could be a redwood one day.
What's a redwood tree?
It's a big-ass fucking girthy tree.
Oh, I love a girthy tree.
I had this idea one day. I said to myself, I don't think there's ever been simultaneous WWE, UFC, and boxing champion at the same time.
You ain't fighting me.
You're the same weight class as me.
I'm not fighting you. It's not.
We can't. We can't. I won't do it. I won't do it.
Yeah, good. Yeah, good. Sit down.
Izzy.
Sit down.
No. I won't do it.
Good.
I'm telling you, even after today, I'm not going
to
do it.
No, it's not even that. It's just like for me, like to get to no disrespect, but to get to where I've gotten to,
dog,
and do what I've done.
You don't even have to.
Okay. What's on the
turn?
Yeah, there we go.
Don't say it. This is where
I love you. I love you for that. The respect. Thank you.
Self-awareness, brother. Yeah. Self-awareness,
my
brother.
My God.
Come on, dog.
You just went up in my book, legit.
Don't be silly.
You just went up in my book. Yeah.
Here's what happened. In my head, you know, I'm an optimist. I'm an idealist. I have the visions in the showers too.
Of course.
I said to myself,
how big is your shower right now?
I'm going to be honest. It's about half the... It's big, dude.
Let's go.
I could do a lap.
I want that so bad.
It's got two heads.
I want that so bad.
It's good.
Yes. Two heads. Two rainforests.
So I could go from...
Let's go. Laps. Let's go. That's the one.
But I said to myself, I could probably do WWE. I feel confident I can get a WWE championship. They made it for me. It's a replica. It's not real. But I could probably cinch a WWE championship. I'm confident. I think I could do it.
I think so.
Boxing, one of the like lower tier. There's 100 different like who? What is you a real do, boxing yeah, championship I know, I know. Nowadays? Hey. I ran into a problem with the UFC championship.
Why?
Because you got the belt. I'm not doing it.
I appreciate it. Even Jake, when Jake said that, someone sent it to me. I think David sent it to me ages ago. I said about Jake said you're the only fighter he would never fight. I was like, oh, respect. Because you know why? You know, sometimes when I meet people and then, they'll say something to my face and when I leave, it's a different story. I'm just like, what the fuck?
I mean, that's life. That's people.
Yeah, I know. But like, especially at this level, especially, with what we do as athletes as well. I'll say it after off air. But as an athlete, I was like, what the fuck would you say that stupid shit? Like, I was right in front of you.
No, my story, my story won't change.
No,
I have no interest in
that.
No,
but I appreciate that. Thank you.
Of course, bro.
Love that. Thank you. And also, look, I like you.
Thanks.
I respect what you're doing. I respect what both of you are doing because against all odds, against the naysayers and saying, nah, you can't because they didn't really know your background. You still said, fuck it. I'm going to do it anyway. And you did it.
I have to.
You know what I mean? Even that right there, I was not excited for that fight. I was like, what the fuck? What are you? I was like, no. Listen, I was like, what the fuck? You should not be in the ring with him.
Yeah.
But guess what? You were. And I found myself the day before getting excited. He got it on tape. And I found myself the day before getting excited like, oh, shit's going to happen. And then when it was about to happen, it was a Vittori 2 fight. I remember because of the hotel. It was a Vittori 2 fight in Houston?
No, it was in Arizona.
Fuck, one of them. And then the day it happened, I was like, this is happening.
Yeah.
Holy shit, this is happening. And then like, there was a point where you rocked him or you did something and he started to spaz on him. I was like,
yeah, I pressed all the buttons on the controller, dog.
Bro, honestly, nah, because you went, but he just shelled up. He's just like, let me hold on. But the thing is, because you're so big, you can fuck him up. Like, even if you hit him behind the head, you know? And I was just, like, spazzing out. But guess what? It was entertaining. It was a sporting moment. And he's already a great. Like, look, even if you knocked him out, I would never be like, oh, now Floyd is done. I'm like, nah. What he did when he was really, like, boxing with those guys, that's dope. But now he's doing all, exhibitions. If he gets caught, he gets caught. Or if you knock him out or whatever, that's cool. But it would have still been a good story for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You did well. You did well in that fight. You didn't get knocked out.
Thanks.
Because guess what? Nah. Yeah. You didn't get knocked out.
I mean, that was low-key the goal. I think afterwards I gained a confidence that I wish I would have had beforehand. Like, weathering Floyd Mayweather does something to you.
Of course.
Like,
come on.
I was excited, bro. It felt like a glitch in the simulation.
Yeah. Facts. Who said that? I think there was a point when you were looking at the camera while they were announcing your name. I recognized you. You were like...
Yeah. I said it right before.
You broke the fourth wall.
Thank you, bro.
You broke the fourth wall. Where's your drink at? I want to cheers you too.
There we go.
Yeah, give him one. Yeah, cheers, Mike. See, that's my love language is touch. So all my boys complain about it. Not complain. They just noted to me one time that I dap people up a lot when I'm because I like to.
It's good.
I think I think the only picture I have with you is us dapping each other up.
Bet.
In Australia. in
person. Whatever my teammates, like with the boys, that is. If I don't sexually harass you, we're not friends.
I feel that.
I smack your dick. I smack your ass. I grab your tits.
We're supposed to go to the casino tonight. I'm kind of scared now.
No, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. Don't worry. It's all above pants.
It's mild.
Above shorts and shit. Yeah. PG. On some PG shit. Like grinding on the thigh. Hey, high school.
Dude, the chick I'm with might try to fight you.
Yeah.
Bro.
Nah, me. I'm good. Bro, what chick? I'm good. I ain't trying to do none of that. I'm just chilling, man.
She might try to fuck you.
She'd lose.
She would lose.
I don't discriminate. It's all right, man. If you can crawl, we can brawl. I said it already.
Speaking of all this touching, this is what I meant. There's a lot of meat in this
so
podcast.
Much.
I mean,
let's get some more meat on here.
Well, I mean,
hey, let's get cooking with Volk. Where you at?
That's what I'm saying. We got to do a whole Volk podcast.
Yeah. I'm going to sit right there. I'm going to watch. Yeah.
So you're trying to get this Hamzat fight or what?
Hamzat. He's a Kamaru next.
Aren't you different? You're different.
Different weight,
weight classes.
But he missed his last fight. Did he miss weight?
Oh, he was way over. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't worry. Trust me. I'm not scared of no one on this fucking planet. Yeah, no one. And also, guess what? I like a challenge. I like a challenge. You know what I mean? That presents something unique that I haven't. Oh, I've seen wrestlers before.
Bro, it's a big fight.
It's a big fight. You know
what?
Very
big fight.
That's why I like that. You know what? Like my boy Carlos said, cheddar makes it better.
Oh, it's a money fight. It's it's a super fight.
But he's got Kamaru, and I think after that, it's probably going to go for the title because he's already, he got Kamaru. He's got Kamaru coming off a loss as well. Off a loss to Leon.
Yeah.
But I've got bigger fish to fry. I'm going to be there in July. And I'm going to see what's up.
Bigger fish.
Bigger fish.
Super or
not with Rob. With Duplexis. Like, there's even a story about that. That what's her name? Posted from Thailand. Joey. From Thailand. She posted a picture of, where's my phone? Hold up. Let me show you on my phone. I'm sure you can forecast this bit on the podcast. Hold up. She posted a picture. Okay, let me scroll. Stop laughing. I know why he's laughing. You behave yourself. You behave. But she posted a picture of a lot of guys training in this little room in Thailand before they had the big open space. They had this little room where everyone trained at. And they had me, Brad Riddell, Alex Volkanovski, Kai, who's fighting next week. First, the second makes, what? This Tuesday. Fuck, this weekend. My bad. My time is lost. But either way, it's this picture.
Too much time in the shower.
Yeah.
A lot of laughs.
But shit, yeah, where is it? You can see us. Do not swipe left or right. Just hold it right there.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So you can see that's the little name. And Drickus is right there in front of, behind Volk.
Yeah.
And I'm there as well.
And?
So you know what's funny?
What's
breaking
funny?
News. What, breaking news. I'll give it. I remember this. We actually sparred.
Oh.
Yeah.
One of these stories.
I don't know, but hey, sparring.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, also, you know what? I'm coming from China. I was doing kickboxing over there. I had no MMA, nothing. I was just kickboxing. I had MMA already back, but it wasn't sharp. It was blunt. My jiu-jitsu was blunt, very blunt. So when we're sparring, I don't know if we did two rounds or one. It's so long ago as well. This is 2014. Yep, 2014. So long ago. I remember, like, on the grappling, he had me. But on a strike him, I just messed him up. But I can't remember exactly. And he had a twin. I don't know if I'm sure he has a twin. I swear to God, he has a twin.
We're getting a no from the teammate.
Nah, he was there back then. He has a twin.
He doesn't?
Question everything.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
How do we know for sure?
Mike knows. Let's go, Mike. Let's go.
Cheers.
All right, we got to bring Volk on, right?
We do got to bring Volk on.
No, but we got to close this one out.
Yes, yeah,
well, no,
out.
I'm not how saying right the second. I just mean, like, we should move in that direction. Yeah. You got to get ready for the casino because we got a long night ahead.
Yeah, I don't know what we should do. I'm still training tomorrow. No, don't worry. What? Oh, yes, my film.
Are you making a movie?
Bro, okay, let me show you the... Not the, I don't think it's the cover, but it might be the cover, but it's coming out in Tribeca Film Festival. June 11th. Oh, wait, what month are we in?
Yeah.
I thought you were losing track of days. Bro,
hold on, it might be out.
Whole months.
Bro, honestly, ever since I stopped working, slowly the days started to escape me. So this is my...
what is it, an indie?
It's a documentary about my professional life so far and a little bit of my childhood, a little bit. I've watched this film twice now. I've watched it twice. I watched it when it was first kind of just finished, and I watched it recently as well. And I'd say one thing about this film. First thing I said was, like, men need to see this. Men need to watch this film. Not just men, but, like, they tested it with, like, a group of 500 people, and they said women within 19 and 38 or 40-something loved it. They loved it because, again, I'm the kind of guy that I'm very, because we're men. Doesn't matter. We still have a feminine side and a masculine side. I'm in touch with both, you know? This is why online people think I'm gay. Like, they literally think I'm gay. It's the whole thing. That's my boyfriend, apparently. My manager, Ash. They're like, I see him in the cage with them all the time. They're always hugging and shit. Must be a sugar daddy. That's my nickname for him. It's my sugar daddy. You know what? Because he, when I was down and out, when I had no money, and there was one time I was like down to my last $300 right before I jumped into UFC. He's always looking after me before that, but then he spot me like 10 grand. And just like,
how did you have that kind of money?
My man, engage.
Can you spot me?
No way. Oh, it was like a reverse.
So he helped me out.
Oh, yeah, cool.
So it's kind of cool. So anyway, they think it's my boyfriend or sugar daddy. But anyway, but it's because I'm the kind of guy that I'm in touch with the masculine and feminine side of me. And that's like the duality.
Yeah.
You know? A lot of guys that walk around with all this shit, like, you know, I'm like, why would you want to walk around with that on you all the time?
I don't have to act tough. Google me.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I don't have anything to... Who said it recently? 50 Cent said it recently. He said, like, only broke motherfuckers fight.
Except you, dog.
Yeah. No, on the streets, at least.
Yeah, on the streets. Yeah, like, people who have shit to lose.
Yeah, don't... Yeah.
Yeah, why? Come on. Honestly, I get my knockouts alone are worth 50K US. Alone. That's the knockouts.
Wait, how much?
Like a bonus. 50K US on like a bonus, like my last one bonus. But I get paid.
That was like billions of impressions. They should.
Yeah, don't worry. That a little bit more. Like I've said this. The UFC sometimes they bump it up to 100 for certain cards. UFC 200, I think they did, or UFC 100, they did. They were like, hey, bonuses are 100K. But when I knock someone out, I know I'm going to get a bonus. So I was like, my knockouts are known are worth 50K US.
A bonus is a bonus. I don't want Dana to be upset. Every time I go to a fight, Dana, my seat keeps going further and further back, bro. When I was at 287, I was in row 6. I ain't trying to be in row 15, 6. Bro. Damn. You know what I'm saying? Like, Dana, but like, I think these bonuses are great. I think they're the perfect size. You know what I'm saying?
They go up. They just signed with UFC, WWE merger, $21.4 billion company. Yeah. I'm like, yo, they can go up. It's been a few years. Like, hey, inflation's been going up. The bonus got to go up. That's how I feel. But I've told him this. I've said this publicly. It's not crazy. But also, why would I want to fight someone and not get paid?
Yeah. No, you wouldn't do it.
What the fuck?
And not to mention, you got weapons, bro.
I saw with a deadly weapon. I know there's that as well. But also, like, I have too much pride in my art to just use it on a street fight.
Yeah.
Unless it came to a point where like literally my life was in danger. Right. I'm not saying no one do something stupid because you will lose. But like unless my life was in danger, it'd be like, okay, well now I have to fucking end this guy because also there's no referee in a street fight. People forget. They think, oh no, the streets is different, bro. No, just I was like, yeah. There's no referee to drag me off. I'll kill you.
Yes, it is different. It's very different.
Yeah, it is very different.
No, that's crazy.
I have to remind people. And even like when I walk around with my team, right now you see Big Paulie, former King of the Ring champ, my boy Mayo, one of the other Garden Gnomes. It's not really for me. It's more for other people. I'm sure you got some stories. Who's broken into your house?
There was a guy.
There
was a guy.
I heard about a girl. Maybe that's someone else. But I'm sure.
Sounds like the beginning of a porn, dude.
Probably. Wow, chicka, wow, wow. Well, yeah,
your security and your team.
I have them around. It's not really for me. It's more so I can live my life and actually enjoy myself and actually get to just be regular. And it's more to protect other people so I don't end up on TMZ for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, of course.
Because I still haven't for the wrong... Well, I mean, some fan gave me some knuckle dusters or a weapon and I ended up on there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
airport,
stupid.
Right?
Yeah. We saw that.
I'm like... Ugh. I don't take shit from fans anymore because of that. But like, I got to protect myself. But at the end of the day, it's more to protect them than to protect me.
For sure.
I can look after myself. I'm sure you can as well.
Well, we're going to have to look after ourselves if we don't get Volk on this podcast.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm out. He's going to beat the fuck
out of Izzy, Izzy, thanks for coming on, bro.
No, thank you.
What a great show, man.
Thanks for bringing us to Puerto Rico to hang out. It was for a few days. Like I said, after one of my fights in the States, I'm pulling back up for a week. I'm going to be at the Ritz.
Please, I might
see you,
bro.
I'm sure I'll see you.
Please hit me up.
Of course.
Man. And this isn't one of those like things where we say it and then don't do it. Hit me up. We'll grab dinner. We'll hang out. It'll be sick.
We'll grab dinner tonight and I'll see you at the casino.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go, baby. Israel Adesanya, ladies and gentlemen.
Snake eyes.
Hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button. We'll see you next time. Take it easy. Peace.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.